Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Michael Janz, co-founder of Agency Revolution, and now your happy host of the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution, creators of marketing and communication software that makes it easier to build and strengthen the relationship you have with your customers. If you believe that the relationship you have with your clients is the heart of your business, then you owe it to yourself to get a free demo, no obligation, but really you should. I know that if you're listening to this podcast, you care about your customer base and you want to direct your agency toward a deeper, stronger relationship with those customers, get a demo, agencyrevolution.com. Now, about this podcast, I've been wondering, how long ago would it have been when I would have said artificial intelligence in the independent insurance agency that nobody would really care? I mean, clearly 10 years ago, but maybe 5 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. But I think now we're at that point where there's a consensus. If there's a genuine expert in artificial intelligence and its application in the independent insurance agency, we pretty much need to listen. We need to know. So my guest is Chris Cheatham. He is that expert. He is also the founder or co-founder and CEO of Risk Genius, which promises to help agencies, quote, deliver the policy impossibly fast. We explore how AI is changing the landscape and the operation of the independent insurance agency today, how it slashes the time to compare and review and analyze policies, how agencies are using AI to gain an edge over their slower moving competitors, and how it helps identify gaps and makes it easy for agencies to provide more comprehensive insurance and better protection for their customers. Chris has been in the industry for 10 years. He was a claim insurance attorney for 5 years in Washington, D.C. before he launched Risk Genius. So, I think you'll find this conversation fascinating, a bit of a glimpse into the future, and I think you will agree with me that you'll come to the conclusion that that future is now. Couple of super quick announcements. Number one, if you're not connected with me on LinkedIn next time you're on your computer, go ahead and do that. Always grateful to have people that I'm communicating with. And number two, I'm going to give you my email address. If you have feedback on the series, if you have comments or questions that you want me to answer or me to find a guest that can answer, I want to know what the topics are that are most important to you. And if you have guests that you think would make a contribution to this conversation, let me know who they are. My email address is michael@michaeljanz.com. And if you get on LinkedIn, I'm Michael Janz. You'll find me very quickly. So now, without further ado, it is a great privilege to introduce you to this conversation with Chris Cheatham. Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Well, I'm good, and I'm excited about this conversation. So before we dig into the juicy stuff, you've got an interesting background and career. So tell us a little bit about how you got to be where you are, and then we're going to take a look at how you're solving problems for independent insurance agents.
Yeah, happy to. So I used to be a surety claim lawyer. I like to say that if you are an agent, you did not want me showing up at your customer's door because that means something's gone very bad.
All right. So, and where did you do that?
I was in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Doing that.
Yep. All right. And then so you were, I interrupted you. You were a surety lawyer. And then what happened?
Yeah. So there was a case I worked on for many years, and the documents were a complete mess when I was going through them for litigation. And I just remembered thinking at the time, like, man, there has to be a better way to do this. And so we initially launched our company in 2012 to basically organize, collect, and deliver claim documents in software. And so we are working with attorneys and accountants and consultants to collect and access claim documents. And then in 2014, we had an underwriter log in because it was a very big claim. So an underwriter logged into our software, and she called me and she said, "Hey, Chris, can we use your software for policy review?" And I said, "Sure, what's policy review?"
Yeah, okay.
I always laugh at that because I had no idea what I was getting myself into, and it's kind of the rabbit hole that created Risk Genius.
Boom, you're in Wonderland now.
Yep.
Okay, so that was the sort of your insight or the inspiration to start the company that you started?
Yep.
Okay.
That was one of the many insights. After I got that call, I started calling some agents and said, "Hey, what's going on with this policy checking?"
What's this policy review thing? Okay.
Yeah, and I'll never forget, I had a friend who worked at a big brokerage, and so she said, "Oh, well, here's my weekend. This is what I did last weekend. I sat in a conference room with another person, and we both had two versions of the same document, and I read one version to her out loud, and she redlined the second version."
Oh, my God.
And I was just, like, dumbfounded. And then there was another person I talked to, and this person was very technologically advanced. And so I said, "Hey, how do you review policy language right now?" She said, "Well, I print out the documents that I need to compare, and then I pull out an X-Acto knife, and then I cut the policy up into clauses, and then I move the clauses around on my desk." And I just was like,
"Wow,
okay, we found a problem to solve." So
okay, all right. So, so very briefly, how would you define that problem?
Yeah, the problem is nobody has any clue what's in their insurance policies. I don't mean that like flippantly. Like, a broker that is reviewing an insurance policy or has placed an insurance policy certainly is going to know what's in that policy.
Right.
But like, at like the kind of macro level, people really just don't know what their coverages are, what their exclusions are. They don't know what they should be looking for, or they can't keep up with the demands of doing policy checking. And so we wanted to fix that problem.
Got it. All right. So in a moment, I want to talk to you about how you're solving the problem. Before we do that, I want to ask you from your perspective. So you've been running an insurtech essentially if I'm doing the math right here, about 4 or 5 years?
Yep, that's right.
Okay. But to some extent, you've been an observer of the industry longer than that, right? I don't know how long you practiced on the surety side of the game, but you're not new to the industry, but you know, you may not have been in the industry as long as I have. What do you see happening right now? Why is it that, for example, a company like yours can appear, whereas, you know, let's face it, if it were 2005, you wouldn't have started that company.
It's actually really simple. Yeah, so for our company specifically, the reason why we can exist now and we couldn't in 2005, well, there's two reasons.
Okay.
Number one is the cloud, right? Like, and this is the same for every industry that's seeing itself going through kind of a tech kind of revolution or evolution or whatever you want to say.
Uh-huh.
So with the cloud, a lawyer like me can go hire some developers and build software and put it up and make it available, secure, and accessible, right?
Yeah.
Before, I would have had to go and buy servers and figure out how to spin those servers up, and it was just a big mess. So like the cloud's changed that side of the thing, side of the equation. The other thing that has changed is, you know, the insurance industry was one of the last industries, in my opinion, to go digital. And by digital, right, I mean just simply going from paper documents to electronic documents. When we launched our company back in 2014, when we launched Risk Genius, I had a friend who worked at a big carrier, and like a big international carrier, and part of his job every Friday for a couple hours, he would sit at a scanner and scan documents. And this was he had an MBA. He was a professional person doing scanning because they were trying to take all their filing cabinets and make them digital. And that's what they came up with.
That was kind of breakthrough stuff back in 1995.
I know, but like a lot of these carriers, and there are brokers still out there that are not digital at all. Everything's still paper, right?
Yeah.
And so until you get everything digital, you couldn't really do any things that were kind of revolutionary in terms.
Why do you think, because you've observed other industries and you've worked in other industries, why do you think the insurance industry has been so slow to adopt digital technologies?
So I equate insurance a lot with the insurance industry a lot with the banking industry.
Mm-hmm. But banking really went fintech before insurance went insurtech, right?
Totally. Absolutely right.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure why banking went before insurance. I'm sure someone much smarter than me would understand that.
Fair enough. Yeah. Okay.
But I think those two industries lagged other industries, because they were just more about moving capital around than they were about having extremely efficient processes.
Mm.
Like when the key driver of a bank is the capital sitting on their you know, balance sheet.
Right.
Which in all intents and purposes, I would argue that's the key driver of insurance companies too, is making sure they have enough in reserve to cover what they're taking on. And so when that's the key thing you have to think about, you focus on the financial side, the monetary side, and then your IT systems are a little bit secondary.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result, you didn't have to worry about quick processes, right? You had
right.
to worry about being efficient with your money. And so that's where you spend money on actuaries and that sort of technology, as opposed to processes and workflow technology.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. So when you look at this industry changing, because when I ran an insurtech myself, while it did seem to happen fairly slowly in the beginning years, in retrospect, I can look back and say, I saw the industry change. I saw increasing acceptance among my marketplace, which was the retail independent insurance agency. I saw increasing acceptance of digital technologies. So it was different when I started it 10 years ago than perhaps 5 years later.
Yep.
Are you seeing an increased interest and acceptance in various digital technologies?
Yeah, 100%. And actually, I always go back to one of the very first pitches that I really ever did of our company.
Yeah.
And so I was talking to an executive of a big carrier, and he actually had his outside counsel was present for the meeting too, right? And so I'm doing my pitch, and at the end they say, okay, where's this hosted? You know, where do you put the data? And I was like, oh, we use AWS to host our data, Amazon Web Services servers. And so the executive says, well, we'll never do that. We'll never go to the cloud.
Okay, I remember those conversations. I remember early conversations about that. Okay,
well,
keep going.
It got better.
Yeah.
It got better because the general counsel who's sitting next to him, the general counsel goes, yeah, we don't use the cloud ever. Like, we don't use the cloud either.
We don't trust the cloud. We trust the server in my closet.
Well, actually, he said, we don't trust the cloud, but you should check out Dropbox.
Okay, right.
Almost started laughing out loud because what he didn't realize is Dropbox is the quintessential cloud application.
Right, obviously, in the cloud. Okay, check out Dropbox.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, check out Dropbox, though. So that was pretty funny. It has totally changed. Now it's about what server you're using. So AWS passes every test. You know, some of our bigger customers, and this is more on the carrier side, focus on having a private instance of that cloud solution.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're an AWS, somebody might say, well, I'd like this to be in my private instance of AWS, which is workable.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't hear the cloud as an issue almost never. There's one customer I'm thinking of where it's still an issue, but otherwise, it's not a big deal.
Got it. Okay. So before we dig into the weeds of the way you're solving problems, and I want to ask kind of one other bigger question or bigger picture question.
Okay.
When you look at the independent insurance agency, let's say of the future, whatever the mysterious year is, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, how do you perceive it being different, functioning different, serving its customers differently than it is now? What does the agency of the future look like to you?
Yeah, and I'm going to focus on one specific area of the agency of the future. I'm going to focus on insurance policies because that's really what I spent all my time thinking about.
All right.
But like, I think what people need to realize is that the brokers are in the driver's seat to dictate the terms of insurance policies. So what I mean by that is, like, one insurance carrier has that carrier's insurance policies. They know the language that they use. They know the pricing they use, but they don't know really what their competitors are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a broker has all of that data, every single bit that they need, because they have policies and quotes and binders from every carrier that they possibly can talk to. And so the reason why that hasn't been super powerful in the past is because the brokers can't structure the data that's in those insurance policies in an efficient manner.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to go in and type out all the limits and type out all the forms and do all that work that's necessary. With artificial intelligence, with machine learning, that data is going to become structured very, very efficiently. And as a result, a broker of the future is going to be able to sit down and say, okay, I have a construction firm of $50 million in Kansas City. Here's the last policy that I placed from a construction firm of a similar size in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
And here are the endorsements that we always want to get. And here's the underwriter I should go talk to. And here are the limits. And, oh, look at this. We just got this limit down from this particular underwriter, so I should go to him for this particular thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas right now, you're just going to the same person for everything.
Got it.
So that's the future in my mind.
Okay. I'm going to circle back on some technology-related questions. Among them, so I'll just put this in the back of your mind, because as we get more digital as an industry, it seems that the agency principal needs to make intelligent decisions about which technologies to invest in, which ones not to invest in. They need a buying process for something they likely haven't bought before. So in the back of your mind, one of my current projects is identifying a process, a good buying process for technology. So we'll circle back to that one. Let's talk about Risk Genius. So you started this company five-ish years ago,
mm-hmm.
right? And I want our listeners to know that this is a company with substance. You're in, I apologize, is it Series B funding or?
Right. Funding.
Okay. Yep. So this is a company that's well recognized by the, in this case, venture capital community. I think you've got carriers as investors as well.
Yep.
And clearly you've got clients, which is, of course, where the rubber meets the road. So you had an insight that the policy review process was inefficient, cumbersome, not up to par, right?
Yep.
And so you chose to jump in and help solve that problem. So tell us a little bit more about how does it work? What does it do? What does it mean to the independent insurance agency of today?
Yeah. Let's see. Well, yeah, I guess how does it work? Yeah, I'll start with how it works.
Okay.
We're big believers. Well, we've done a lot of user testing, a lot of user feedback sessions. One thing we realized when we started trying to tackle policy checking is that we didn't know anything about policy checking, and we really didn't know anything about insurance policies. We learned that the hard way our first kind of launch back in 2015,
uh-huh.
because we had built algorithms for commercial general liability policies. Without really fully realizing that there's other lines of business, which I know is extremely foolish, but at the time I did not know it was extremely foolish.
I'll jump in with a quote from the founder of, from Reid Hoffman, founder of LinkedIn. If you're not embarrassed by your first launch, you waited too long. So,
yeah, that's exactly right. And so we had we had people jump into the software when we launched and they started uploading property policies.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, okay, no big deal. But then we got to these sections that included like perils insured and perils not insured and like business interruption. And it was stuff I'd literally never heard of before.
Right. And a bunch of other insurance words that the normal citizens don't understand. Okay.
Yeah. And like we quickly realized that not everyone uses ISO policies.
Uh-huh.
Like, it was just a nightmare. And
yeah.
So we've had to do just so much work around learning to understand insurance policies, then learning how people read insurance policies and analyze them, And then finally taking data scientists and showing them that step of how to read an insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
And then writing the algorithms that show how people read insurance policies.
Right.
And then you have to build on the back end, which we kind of had a jump start on because we'd already built a document management system. But then you have to build in the user interface that goes on top of that. So it has been a long, hard path, I'm not going to lie, of figuring this stuff out. Which it should be, because honestly, if policy checking was easier, somebody would have done this a long time ago.
So, but you've got 5 years into that now.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. And so, yeah, we're just at the point now where we launched in October a solution that does not require what I call human intervention. So it's really the question you should always ask about any artificial intelligence solution is like, you know, how much human intervention is occurring right now? I think about like
you mean when I speak into like my Google Home and I know that engineers are secretly listening to my questions.
That's exactly right. Like,
okay.
There's an algorithm that sorts out all those words that you say, and they try to understand them. And like, I actually know somebody who was working on an open source version of Google Home. And so what he was doing with the words that people are speaking into devices is no different than what we're doing with the words that are appearing on an insurance policy.
Yeah.
You're trying to parse and understand them and be able to teach a machine how to parse and understand them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we've spent a lot of our time on.
Okay. And so that, so you kind of hit a tipping point in October where now you've got, just explain that to us.
Yeah. So the first version of our software, which came out in 2015, required humans to go in and help the machine figure out what it was looking at. Right. Either we were helping identify, oh, here's a clause, or we were correcting labels that were getting attached to clauses.
Uh-huh.
So imagine there's a terrorism clause and the machine accidentally identifies it as a war clause. We have to go fix that. Yeah. Or imagine like a terrorism exclusion and a war exclusion get combined together. Those would have to be separated out by a human.
Mm-hmm.
And so the goal is to reduce that type of human interaction. And so we hit the tipping point in October where we don't have to have that human intervention anymore because we've done so much work on the front end to make sure the machines understand what they're looking at.
So this is fascinating, and I just want to ask you, if you can, what did Denzel Washington say in the movie Philadelphia? Talk to me like I'm 10. Okay.
Yeah.
So artificial intelligence. So tell us a little bit about how AI works and how it learns.
Oh, man, that's a very broad question.
Ah, okay. Talk to me like I'm 10.
Talk to you like you're 10. So,
well, I mean, because clearly your AI is a little bit smarter now than it was in 2015.
Yeah, absolutely. So
how did it get there?
Imagine you're a 10-year-old, right? And I'm teaching a 10-year-old how to do policy review.
Uh-huh.
So I start out with one policy, and I say, okay, Jimmy, here are five things you need to check for. You need to look at the named insured and the limit and the deductible. Let's just do those three things. And so I go through and I show Jimmy exactly what they are. I'll highlight them, and then I put a post-it flag on it, and I say named insured. And then I highlight the next one, and I say this is the deductible. And then I highlight the last one, I say this is the limit.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy's like, okay, great. So there's one example. Then we go to another carrier. And I say, now, Jimmy, show me the named insured, the limit, and the deductible. And he gets the named insured right. He misses the limit because the table got called something else. And he misses deductible because it got called something else. And so I help him identify those. I correct what he's just done.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's learned from that. Imagine that process over and over and over again until Jimmy's seen enough that he actually can take a new policy he's never seen before and find the information. Right?
Yeah.
And imagine I give him a final test and I say, okay, Jimmy, here's 100 policies. You now have 1 hour to go through these and check for those three things. And Jimmy comes back and he's 93% accurate on the named insured. He's 95% on the limits and he's 80% on the deductible.
Uh-huh.
I say, okay, Jimmy, great job. You've passed the test for named insured. You've passed the test for limits. We need to do more training on deductibles. So I'll find some more examples and show you those.
Mm-hmm.
And that's literally it in my mind. I know it's a lot more complicated, but like, that is the process, and then there's ways that you take that information and you teach machines to understand it, and that's where kind of the algorithms and the different ways to do artificial intelligence come into play, frankly, that is not my expertise. So I'm not going to even make up stuff there.
Okay. But fascinating nonetheless. So talk to us about the problems you solve for the independent insurance agent or broker.
I mean, it's the key problem that we initially tackled was policy checking that occurs year over year, particularly around renewals.
Okay.
So taking mm-hmm. last year's policy and comparing it to a quote, or taking the policy that gets issued and making sure the quote matches what came out in the final policy,
mm-hmm.
Or doing something along those lines, or adding a submission in there. So it's policy checking. It happens. It should happen on every single account, every single year. It doesn't always happen that way inside brokerages and agencies, but you know, it is what it is. And our software helps people do that much faster. So you have a 100-page document. You could go through all 100 pages and do the policy check manually, or you can use our software and you click on each item you're supposed to check. It takes you to that section of the policy. You do your quicker review, and then you're on your way. So like, it takes like 2 minutes and 45 seconds on the demo that's on our website to do a policy check that would take an hour typically in the past.
So I was going to ask you, do you know how much time you save somebody?
Yeah, a lot. I mean, it just depends on, it's hard to like, brokers out there probably know that like, the policy check you do depends on how big the customer is and how big that policy is. So sometimes you do
more. And maybe how diligent you are with your policy check?
100%. Yep, 100%.
Like, okay.
So you might have a very manuscript policy, and you actually have to do more analysis of that to make sure it's correct and you're getting what you expect and things haven't changed year over year. Whereas like a BOP policy or a simple package policy, those can be done very quickly with our software. The manuscript can be done very quickly with our software. But, you know, you're talking anywhere from 2 to 4 minutes on a basic policy. You know, I think the bigger, more manuscript policies where you're checking the clauses and the policy language,
yeah,
that's going to take a little bit more time because you got to go and read the clauses.
Got it. All right. So is commercial lines only?
Yeah, commercial lines is what we focus on. People just don't really care what's in the personal lines.
Okay. So it's commercial lines and of all sizes, or because I think you mentioned BOPs.
Yep, all sizes.
All sizes. So not just middle market. All right. So brokers, so typically you see your solution being used around renewal, right? And so a broker may have secured a quote from perhaps two or three other companies than the incumbent company. And so they want to be able to provide a comprehensive review for the customer.
That's exactly right. Yep.
Okay. So now let me ask the next question. Can they also effectively do this in a competitive situation? So now Mr. Broker down the street is also competing for your business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And so as long as I get a copy of that policy, or how does that work?
Yeah, if you get a copy of the policy, that's great. Oftentimes we can also work just with a deck page if that's all you're getting,
uh-huh.
or even just a quote if that's what you're getting.
Right.
And so what we do is, like, let's say there's a producer that's really good at going and talking to manufacturing companies, and they like to do coverage gap analysis. We will sit down with that broker and we'll say, okay, what do you check for, right? It's really the IP of that particular broker. What's your intellectual property?
Mm-hmm.
And so we then take that information and make it into a checklist that is customized just for that producer, right? So that they can go in, have their customized checklist, upload the, let's say it's a deck page or a quote or a policy from the prospect.
Mm-hmm.
They upload that document, check for the things that they need based on the checklist they have on the left, and they've done their review. They can export out the results and share it with the customer.
Got it.
So it really speeds up that process. And frankly, that's a process that gets kind of second.
Mm-hmm.
It gets ignored sometimes because you have to do policy checking or the account managers are busy. So we think we're empowering people to do that a lot more.
Got it. All right. So, Chris, let me do a reality check on the solution. Okay. So it seems to me that there are two or three significant benefits from the solution. One, if I were a broker, I could deliver a comprehensive policy review with confidence to my client. In other words, I could really demonstrate to them that I've done a comparative review, right?
Yes.
I think it probably imparts a greater degree of confidence to the customer, to the end user, right?
Exactly.
Three, In some significant likelihood, I may be able to identify gaps so that I can sell more coverage, more appropriate coverage.
That's okay. Right. Yep.
Okay.
There's a fourth one too.
I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet.
Oh, okay.
One more. I got one more, and then maybe you have one. And four is that I could steal customers from my competitor.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have another one besides that?
I did.
Okay.
I have one more.
Oh, so there's five. All right.
There's five. There's probably more than five, but we'll just go with five today. So the fifth one is like what I call policy optimization. So, you know, you're doing your day-to-day thing where you're checking the policies or checking competitor policies, et cetera. But over time, because you're doing a standardized checking process, we are accumulating data for you about what is good and bad about your policies and what is good and bad as you're doing your review. And so that data can be used in a number of ways. One way that data can be used is you could go and say, okay, I want to look at all the red flags, everything that I flagged on Traveler's renewal policy.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see what they're screwing up every time. And so let's say they're messing up the named insured every time. You can turn around to that carrier, and number one, you can just say, fix this. Or number two, you can say, I'm having to do inordinate amounts of work to correct your policies. I want a better rate. Right? There's all sorts of things you can do with that data.
Okay.
Yeah, or mm-hmm. there's also, you can start optimizing your policies. I use construction customer example.
Mm-hmm.
You can start looking at construction policies and seeing, you know, what are we, like 98% of the time we're going and getting a named insured endorsement. What about these 2%? Why aren't we doing it here? Are those mistakes that we're making? Is that going to create E&O? We have to fix that going forward. So that's the other piece.
Yeah. Okay. So it really does support efficiency. Let me ask you one last question on this. So at your level, at the InsurTech, the Risk Genius level, I would think that your AI is learning things industry wide, not just agency wide. I don't know if you've been able to do that yet, but at some point it would seem that that could turn into extremely valuable information for the industry.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've done this in the past, actually, where we survey policies to understand the contents. I think that small brokers will band together, for example, and start, you know, benchmarking their policies against each other. But yeah, absolutely. This data can be anonymized, and we don't do it without people's permission. I think that's very, very important.
Right.
We're not going to take your data and sell it to somebody else.
Right.
But there's some very interesting things that can really help the insurance industry going forward, as long as people are willing to work together with this data. So there's also trade associations within, you know, the groups of brokers that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
They have an interesting seat to get their member brokers working together. So, yeah, really interesting stuff is going to start coming out of all this data. And I'd say that's kind of the second wave of InsurTechs that you're going to see are the InsurTechs that are doing really interesting stuff with data. I'd say the previous InsurTechs you've seen, I just saw Indio, for example, got bought by Applied. They're fixing the piping is the way I think about it, right? So they're making the submission process better. Or, there's just a lot of companies trying to fix the pipes.
Yeah.
And then there's companies like Risk Genius that are now trying to send different data through those pipes so it's more easily understandable.
Okay. Fascinating. All right. So now I want to circle back to the question I put in the back of your mind. So you are, on a daily basis, you're dealing with prospective customers who need to make a decision about purchasing something they never purchased before.
Yep.
And while every great company, you've got a sales process, right? Just like the InsurTech I ran had a sales process. One of the things that we quickly encountered was that our prospective customers did not have a buying process for technology.
Yep.
So what counsel or advice would you give to independent insurance agents about how to make decisions about purchasing technology?
Yeah, I would say do not make decisions from the top down. You have to get your users involved. Otherwise, you're going to buy stuff that you don't need. So I was actually just on a call this morning with someone, And it was sort of a manager of a bunch of policy checkers, and she was skeptical of our software. And so she had her users on the call this time, and there was this pause at the end where she's like, all right, what do you think? And the user just goes, I love it. This is exactly what we need. Right? And so like that, I have seen this gap too many times where the, you know, decision makers aren't necessarily the users, so they don't understand the problem that needs to be solved.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say the key to buying this stuff, in my opinion, is engaging your users to understand where the pain points are. Don't buy something just because it's the hot, cool insurtech out there. Don't buy something because it's the buzzy technology word out there. Buy something because it fixes a problem.
Yeah.
It's going to fix a problem until you engage those users and let them try the software. That's
Got
really,
it.
Really important.
All right. Chris, I have one last question for you. I want to go with the insurance highway question because I think you've got an interesting perspective. So if you had the opportunity to put a billboard on insurance highway and everybody's driving, let's say 75, 80 miles an hour, and you could put a very, very short message on it that's non-commercial to Risk Genius, but something that you want to, like a message you want to deliver to the principals of independent insurance agents today, what do you want to say? What do you want them to wake up to?
Yeah, I think his message would be something like, own the data. And what I mean by that is, like, your data is very, very important, and you need to understand what you have and what you don't have, because that's going to be the key in the future. So, yeah, I would just say, you know, focus on the data, because that's where everything's going to be in the future.
Got it. All right. And that data, yeah, as its representative, presumably, of their customers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got it. Okay. All righty. Chris, if our listeners want to find out more about Risk Genius or ask follow-up questions, how should they do that?
Yeah, you can go check out our website, riskgenius.com, or you can just email me, chris@riskgenius.com. Either way works. And I also post on LinkedIn a lot, so if you want to come see me harass people about what InsurTech is doing good and bad. It's a good place to do it.
All right. Very good. well, it was an exciting conversation, and I appreciate you sharing your insight with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.